He would be this intentional and this patient in delivering and embedding the truth of Christ into his people. I marvel at him. His complex ways, and I would say his romantic ways. There's a romance in this. I don't want you to miss what I'm doing here, so I am going to embed it in your life, in your livelihood, in your festivals, in your joy. So I'll say it again for emphasis, that resurrection is at the same time the fulfillment of all the harvest inauguration festivals that had come and the beginning of a brand new kind of harvest, a harvest unto eternal life. So although others had been brought back to life, we can read scripture and see other people had been brought back to life, it was always to their old bodies. It was always back to where they were. But Christ is the first of those who receive an eternal body, a heavenly body, a body that will never die, that is imperishable. And so Christ is the sheaf, the omer. He is the first of the harvest that is waved before the Lord in celebration and thanksgiving. He represents the promise that what God has done in Christ in raising him imperishable is representative for all who follow after him. So the priest would do it signifying this is true of the whole harvest. Resurrection signifies the fulfillment of the story of God working out the leaven in his people, freeing them from oppression and drawing them back to himself. While at the same time, it's the beginning of this new way to be human, where we, each of us, is who believes is actually becomes a receiving one. So a believing one becomes a receiving one. We are God-filled, we are spirit-filled, we are empowered and entrusted with the very presence of God. It's the fulfillment of a religious system as well that required ongoing, repeated sacrificial atonement for sins. Why? To point to Christ. I need you to do this every year without fail. Why? Because you need to recognize what's happening when Christ comes. But now Christ has come. Do you need to keep observing those festivals? We've got another festival. We've got a festival that includes that and is even better, more fulfilled, more complete. So it fulfills the religious system. It's the inauguration of a complete, once and for all, justification based on the perfect person and path of Christ. So Romans 4:25 says this, that he, Christ, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So humanity's way of life, the way of life we kind of, when we read the news, you see it. This way of demanding vengeance, blood for blood, unforgiving, greedy, power-hungry, oppressive, the hard-hearted and harsh ways of viewing God, all of the ways Jesus actually taught his disciples to become detached from, those sinful, self-seeking patterns in their pathway, they set in motion the fear, the scheming, the darkroom plots, the manipulation of the masses, and the creative creation of the cross. Somebody had to create that to maximize suffering. All of that that created that system set in motion Christ's death. They delivered Jesus to death. But because God raised him to life, giving him the highest stamp of approval, Christ's teachings, his path, his glorious hope-filled promises have now been set in motion. He was raised for our justification. So God looks at us and he sees not our sin, but our Savior. He judges us as just because he sees Christ in us. So this is a fulfillment of an age-old journey back to a garden experience with God, and the beginning of a new journey to grow this new garden experience to the corners of the earth. It's ushered in a new day. And for that, we say hallelujah. For that, we praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. And that is our response. What do we do about Christ's resurrection? Well, we do as we've been doing this morning. We celebrate it. And often it comes spontaneously. It just kind of springs out of us. But there's also a few good reasons to highlight this morning. First, that Christ was victorious over sin and death. The once-for-all Passover lamb was worthy to take away the sin of the world. God's resurrection of Jesus validates that his teaching and path are true. Because he was accepted, so are those who are in him. Because he was resurrected, so are those who belong to him. Because he was raised, we can be confident that God is no longer counting our sin against us. He's not holding judgment over us, but instead, he is, as Jesus revealed, a loving, forgiving Father, seeking those who will see him as he is, those who will live after his Son, kingdom citizens. So the first fruits harvest that Jesus inaugurated with his resurrection includes you and I this morning. And as I think about that and I personalize that, I say, what a glorious day and continuing experience when we realize that the guilt, the shame, and the condemnation that we feel sometimes as a result of those ways that we miss it, as a result of the ways that we mess it up, they're not coming from God. That that's not actually the way God sees us. That in fact, God is choosing to see Jesus and his faithfulness as our faithfulness. Jesus' character as my character. That in God's eyes, I'm actually clothed in Christ, in his holiness. That I'm free to live my best life, which is infused with Christ's life. Now that brings joy. It brings rest for those people who are burdened by their sins, shame, and guilt. And it brings an amazingly possible life. What might I do, think, behave? How can I act differently, living out of that central belief that God is not counting my sin against me, but he sees Christ in me? So firstly, we celebrate resurrection because Jesus has conquered sin and its resulting guilt and shame. Secondly, his resurrection, which took place on that first fruits festival, kicked off the waiting period for the next important festival. And I already alluded to that. That's Shavuot, the full harvest festival. And we call that Pentecost. The coming of Jesus, the dying of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus ushers in this new way of being in relationship with God. It's a day long prophesied about where every believer has unlimited and uninterrupted access to the Father through the coming of the Spirit. And it was signified by the tearing of that veil. This is the full harvest of God's blessing and provision for us. So the first fruits is resurrection. The full harvest celebration is the coming of the Holy Spirit into every life. Thirdly, this new way of being with God, although awesome and amazing in its tangible reality and the way that we live it out day by day, is really about something even grander. It's like a down payment, the scriptures say, like seeing in a mirror darkly. A foretaste of what awaits us in the Lord, in the future, what's coming. Our future hope is like the beginning of our collective story. We go back to a garden experience, but this garden has actually blossomed into a robust and vibrant city where we live with one another and God is bringing light to all. A life where the good garden is forever and always sustained. It's being filled with the creativity of those who are made in the image of their Creator. And just like the joy of that first fruits festival of old, we wave our hands from east to west and we declare that we are among the harvest. We have come to the first one and we are now in the first one and we are following after the first one. So those are three reasons that we celebrate Jesus' resurrection that we can think about, ponder, and celebrate this morning. But when I was writing this, I thought, well, what else can we do? You know, we feel energetic, we feel inspired on Easter Sunday. What else could we do with that? Is that it? Do we just praise? And then the thought came, talking about gardens, we tend it. We're tenders. We tend to the garden here and now. So allow me to set one last scene this morning. You are a co-gardener. Every one of you. Even you, Jordan. In love with the owner of the garden, enraptured by the garden itself, joyously cultivating it, adding your creativity and gifts to it. And then you notice others who really aren't seeing the garden at all. When you watch, they're kind of like trampling through, they haven't found the paths, they step on a rose. So you invite them to pick a flower. You invite them to smell its sweetness. and join you in seeing the beauty of the garden, to join you in caring for the garden, because there's so much garden to be cared for. And you know for a fact that the owner of the garden is hiring. There's some space available. As an outflow and an overflow of our celebration, we tend to the goodness of resurrection life. Inspired by goodness and mercy, we honor the gift that Christ has offered us. We allow the newness of being freed and justified ones begin to inform the whole of us, our words, our actions, our character. If you hear nothing else this morning, hear that. Allow the words of being a justified one, that truth, to invade your life, to take up more space in you. You are a justified one. God looks at you and he sees Jesus. How does that change the way you see yourself and you see your role and you see others? We tell those who are ready to hear that he is risen for them as well. We spread the wonderfully good news of his life, his death, his resurrection power, that the old ways of earning our salvation are over. And the new life in the Spirit is now. And as we participate in this work, we're gardeners. We're cultivators of the new kingdom wherever we're sent, even right here in Chandler Mowat. And we do it all for the glory of God. So now may the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection move through us in this place. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope, because of the resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah, from the dead." Amen.
Stand if you're able. Stars.